Is it not a beautiful morning out there? If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And before we get started, there are a couple of announcements I want to bring special attention to. One is that if you notice, there's going to be a few changes in our service. There's an announcement in the back of the bulletin about it, that we're going to have music beginning just before the worship starts, and it's we're asking that you use that time to make personal preparation in your heart for worship service, okay? And then when the music stops, then we'll start our official part of our service, and it'll start about 2 or 3 minutes before 11, okay? So, and also on Wednesday night, you know, is a great time to come for Bible study. If you haven't been participating and taking part in the Wednesday night Bible study, I really encourage you to do so, because it's a time to really delve into the Word of God and learn a lot more. Okay? Is there any other announcements? Okay.
Just want to let you know that the 2020 contribution statements are ready. For those of you that are here this morning, Betty is going to pass those out right after the service. For those of you that are at home or in the cars, your statement will be sent out in the mail, so you'll be getting it that way. Thanks.
Any other announcements? Okay. If not, would you take your bulletin and let's turn to the inside front cover and do the unison reading that's printed there together. And it reads,
Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed here in your bulletin. Please sing this, stand and let's sing it together. We bring the sacrifice of praise.
We
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just praising your name and thanking you for the privilege of being in, here in the house to worship. We ask, Lord, that you bless each person here. Bless those that are out in the parking lot and those that couldn't be here for whatever reason, Lord, and just ask that your presence be with them. Give us peace, comfort, and forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 381. Number 381, The Solid Rock.
Seated. Please turn in your bulletins to our responsive reading. Today it's in Psalm 24 and reading verses 1 to 6. And I will read the first and then if you would respond. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
The world and those who dwell therein.
For God has founded it upon the seas. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?
And who shall stand in God's holy place?
Those who have clean hands and a pure heart.
Who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully.
They will receive blessing from the Lord.
And vindication from the God of their salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek the Lord.
Who seek the face of God.
Amen.
As we come to the place in our worship for the tithes and offerings, I'd like to read Luke 6, verse 38. It says, "Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you bringing these tithes, gifts, and offerings. We ask, Lord, that you bless the giver as well as the gift. Help us as a church, Lord, to use these funds to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I think to say that we live in a very strange time right now is an understatement. We have many things that are facing us, not only as a nation, but also as individuals. And as a church, as the body of Christ, it's our desire to lift up those who are in need and those who are seeking the Lord. So as we come before him this morning, let's bow and pray that God will have his mercy. Let's bow and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we have someone who hears our prayers, that we have someone who watches over us and who protects us. And Lord, we recognize right now that there are many threats to us, many things that would seek to destroy us and to destroy our peace. Lord, we have no one else to turn to but you, that you are our rock, that you are our foundation. So, Lord, we come to you this day and we call upon your name, not only for your protection, but also for your healing. Father, we ask that your healing hand might rest on those here in our congregation and our loved ones. Lord, we pray in particular this morning for those who are struggling with physical problems. We pray for Tom and Catherine this morning and ask that your healing hand might rest on them, that you would touch each of them and bring them to health. We ask that you would take away the pain and the fear and give them instead the peace of your presence. Our Father, we pray for those this morning who are suffering loss, those who have lost loved ones recently. Lord, we pray that your healing hand would be on them to heal them emotionally. I pray for those this morning who are in fear, those who are worried about the future, those who are concerned with what's going to happen tomorrow and the day after that and the week after that. And Lord, we just pray that you would give us the peace of knowing, the assurance of knowing that our future lies in your hands and that we have no reason to fear. Father, we pray for our congregation. We pray that you would protect us, Lord, that you would put a shield around us and protect us from the evil. We pray that you would save us from this COVID-19 that is threatening so many. So, Lord, we ask and pray that you would give us strength, that you would keep us healthy before you. Our Father, we ask and pray that through all of this, that our eyes would not be diverted to what's around us, what's happening all around us, but instead that we would keep our eyes fixed on you as the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, I pray that each one of us might draw closer to you in our hearts, to depend upon you and not upon nations or governments, that you are our Lord, you are our sovereign God. And we praise you and lift up your name this morning. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now turning your hymnal to number 176. Please stand and we'll sing this together, number 176, Be Thou My Vision.
Please turn with me now in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning, and this is found in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, and hear now the word of God. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. If by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. And especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. I'm sure that a number of you are familiar with a movie that was popular just several years ago. The name of the movie was The Truman Show. And the star of this was Jim Carrey. But he portrayed an individual by the name of Truman Burbank. And Truman Burbank had a very unusual existence because when he was first born, he was chosen to be a part of a reality show. And this reality show would be programmed so that everyone would watch this from their homes. But the one thing was, Truman had no idea that he was part of this show. Everything was orchestrated and organized to make him believe that this was just life. And he was living in this idyllic type situation where everyone was good to one another and everyone was kind and loving and everybody took care of him and all of his needs were provided. And as he grew, this became a tremendously popular show, but he had no idea because he had no contact with the outside world. And then all of a sudden something happened that caused him to start wondering what was happening. Because he saw cars that were passing at a certain time every day. He saw things that looked orchestrated, and all of a sudden, he began to wake up to the fact that this was not reality. And the thing of it is, once he realized the truth about this, then he could never go back. Then he had to act on it. He had to do something about it. And I'm not going to go through the whole movie. It's a great movie. Has a good message to it. Maybe you could watch it sometime. But you know, there are times when in life we face similar dilemmas because we put all of our faith in something only to find out that it's not at all what we thought it was going to be. I have an aunt one time. She was not just my aunt one time. She was my aunt. And I remember that one time she bought something called a Vegematic. And she became a crusader for the Vegematic. She thought that everybody's health depended on how many vegetables they could stick into the Vegematic and drink whatever came out. And she really got hooked on carrots. And so she would buy just huge amounts of carrots, and she'd pump them into her Vegematic, and she and her husband and my cousins would all drink this carrot juice 3-4 times a day. And I mean, she was telling everybody about the health benefits and how great it was, until one day she woke up in the morning and her skin had turned orange. And her eyes, the white in her eyes, turned orange. And the same with her husband and her children. And so she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "What in the world have you been drinking?" And she told him, and he said, "Well, you know, you have to follow the directions on this. That says you're only supposed to take so much per day, and you've way overdone it." Well, you see, all of a sudden, the whole myth about the Vegematic and how healthy it was kind of blew up in her face, and she had to go around and tell other people, you know, I thought this was good for you, but turns out you have to be very careful. You know, sometimes we face other situations like this, maybe in personal relationships where we believe somebody to be a certain way, and then we find out over time, well, they're not really that way at all. It's very painful. One of my good friends was part of a church in the Fort Lauderdale area, and he would always call me and tell me about his pastor and how great this pastor was. And then one day he found out that his pastor had been having multiple affairs with women in the congregation, and it almost destroyed him completely. Everything that he believed suddenly was turned upside down about this church, about this individual. Well, sometimes this also happens like in business dealings. You know, people that trust their business partners or maybe even their own children with their business, something they've worked very hard on, they've built it up to a certain point, and they hand it over, or they trust their business partner or their financial advisor or somebody in their life. They're trusting, putting all their faith in that person, only to find out that they've been completely robbed, that now they have nothing. And also true with marriages, unfaithful spouses, when all of a sudden they realize this person isn't who I believed they were all these years. See, it's very confusing. Turns you upside down inside. You know, but once we realize that we've been duped, once we realize that that person we put all of our trust and faith in is not really the individual we thought they were, well, then we change forever on the inside. From the best case scenario, we pick up the pieces and we learn from our mistakes and we go forward. The worst case scenario, we suffer consequences from this for the rest of our lives. We're never the same. Things have changed. So how can we protect ourselves from this? Well, I believe there are two ways. First of all, we have to identify the source of this deceit. We have to identify the source. The second is we have to identify the solution to it. And that's what I want to look at this morning. First of all, where does this deception come from? Well, I believe that everything in this world comes from only two sources, and that is it either comes from God Almighty or it comes from Satan. God is the Father of all lights. In him there is no darkness at all. So if we see darkness, it's not coming from God. If we see things like deceit or hypocrisy, these things are not coming from God. And there can only be one other source. I know people say, well, it could be human. Well, what's driving that human nature? It's going to come from one or two things. It's either going to come from God or it's going to come from our enemy and Satan. You know, the first mention of deception comes right in the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. And it talks about Eve being deceived. And this is what it says. This is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13. And it says this: Then the Lord God said to the woman, "Why, what is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." That's the first mention of deceit or being deceived in all of Scripture, right in the beginning in the garden. It started right away, Satan's plan to deceive. And the truth is, all through Scripture and all through the New Testament and all the time right up until today, and it'll continue until the Lord returns, Satan is going to deceive. He will deceive. He makes himself look like an angel of light, but in reality, he's the darkest and foulest creature ever. He continues to deceive. This is why the Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And I know that there may be some people looking out at our world today and looking at individuals and blaming them for all the problems that we have. It's not them. They've been deceived. They have been deceived so that they deceive us. Now, the truth is, it's not a victimless crime. There are victims. It's also not a crime that will go unpunished. It will be punished. And people who take it on themselves to deceive others will receive a terrible punishment. We read about that in the passage here in 2 Peter chapter 2. We read about the fact that God's not slow about these things. If God persecuted the angels, if God blamed the angels and convicted them of what they did, he's not slow about these things, and he doesn't forget. He remembers. And people today that have built their lives and their careers on deceit will pay a terrible, terrible price for what they've done. Well, he continues to deceive. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Paul prayed for the Corinthians for their protection. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And he says this, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Just as the serpent deceived Eve, that he's going to deceive you, because he's very cunning. He makes you think black is white and white is black, and he's a master at it, very clever at it. In fact, at the very end in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, it says this, "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." He doesn't just deceive individuals, he's deceiving the whole world. Explains a lot, doesn't it? When we look out and see what's happening, it's not just happening here in America. It's happening all over the world. Why? Because the same one deceiving people in America are deceiving everyone else in the whole world. They're being deceived. You know, unfortunately, it's very easy for us, especially as believers, as Christians, to be deceived. And the reason is that we want to believe the best in other people. We want to find the good in other people. There are some people that go so far as to say there's good in everybody. And I'm sure to a degree that's true, but not everyone is good. We're easily deceived by others, and we're prone to think, oh, those people would never do that. But what we're really saying in our heart is, I would never do that. And I don't think you would ever do that. But there are people that would do that. There are people that have no conscience at all, and they are so sold out to this world, so sold out to our enemy, the devil, that they'll do anything. No conscience at all. They'll do it. And the problem is that this is such a big thing in the world that we're no match for it. We're not able on our own to discern good from evil. You know, after we've lived for a certain period of time, there are certain indications that we pick up on, you know, the way somebody's behaving or the way a person deals in business or whatever. You know, we may look at those things and be able to discern, I don't want to trust that person over there. But Satan is so clever. In fact, Paul uses the word cunning. He's cunning. He's clever. He knows how to bypass those things in us those defenses that we put up, those screens that we put up. He's able to bypass that. That's why this is a spiritual battle and not a human battle. We're not equipped in and of ourselves to defend against this deceit. And because of this, we need spiritual help. Now, you know, some time ago, we looked at the different pieces of armor that were provided, Ephesians chapter 6, when we're told that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and all these parts of the kingdom of the enemy that we fight against. And because of that, we're no match for it. So God provides for us spiritual weapons of warfare, ways to defend ourselves and protect ourselves. We need spiritual help, and this is really the solution. We talked about it, the source, and this is the solution. The solution is that God promises to give us discernment if we ask for it, if we want it. I think that there may be people that are just happy to let life go on. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. I don't think as believers that we have that option. We're supposed to be standing firm against the wiles of the devil. How are we supposed to do that? Well, Solomon was, as we know today, the wisest man that ever lived. That's what the Bible says. He was the wisest man that ever lived. And, you know, especially in the early days, we can see the tremendous things that he did. Later on in his life, we read that he had 300 wives and 600 concubines. And you wonder, well, where's the wisdom? Where's the wisdom in that? But Solomon, when Solomon first became king, he was a young man. And the Lord spoke to Solomon and he said, Solomon, if I could give you anything at all, what would you ask for? And Solomon thought about it. And Solomon knew that this task that was before him was bigger than anything that he could handle as a man. And so he prayed to God, Lord, if you could give me anything, I ask you to give me wisdom. And the word for wisdom and the word for discernment in Hebrew are the same word. I ask you, Lord, give me discernment, give me wisdom to know how I should move forward. He prayed that. In fact, this is what it says, 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. And it says this, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? That I may be able to discern between good and evil. That's the prayer that he made. And as we know, God was very pleased because he said, you didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for any of those things. But you asked for something that really pleases me. Well, God is pleased when we ask him for help. You know, what father is there or mother is there on earth that when their child comes to them and says, I need your help. Would you please help me? What parent at that point doesn't have their heart just go out to that child? Well, of course I'll help you. You're my child. I love you. Well, it's the very same thing with God. When we ask God for help, he wants to give it to us. He's waiting for us to. This is what James chapter 1, verse 5 is all about. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord who gives freely to all men without reproach, but let him ask in faith without any doubting. Sure, when we lack understanding in these things, we call on the Lord. Now, are there things in our lives right now that we lack wisdom in, that we lack discernment? Of course, always. There are issues that we face day by day in life that are beyond us. We have to make decisions, and we're not sure what decision to make. Well, God says, if you lack that wisdom, come to me, and I'll grant you that wisdom. So how does God do this? How does he grant this wisdom? He just pop, there it is. Well, one way that he grants this wisdom is through something we call spiritual gifts. Believe it or not, he uses the Holy Spirit to give us what we don't have. Now, I know there are a lot of different views about spiritual gifts, but it's mentioned three times in the New Testament, twice very specifically in the New Testament. He talks about the gifts that we're given as the body of Christ. And one of these gifts is a gift of discernment. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. He's talking about all the different gifts, and he says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. But the whole thing about the ability to distinguish between spirits is the gift of discernment. And it's something that as believers, we need. Now, you might say, well, God didn't give me that gift. I don't have that gift. I believe that the Lord gives us gifts when we need them. I don't believe in what's called the resident view of spiritual gifts. I don't believe that when we become a Christian, God says, okay, you get this and this and this, and that's it. No. I think spiritual gifts are like a Christmas present or a birthday present that's given to a child to give to somebody else. Yeah, well, Johnny's going to a birthday party. Well, here, Johnny, here's a gift, and I want you to give this to the birthday boy. Okay. And he goes there, he takes the gift, and he gives it. I believe that's the way the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. You may say, well, I've never heard that before. Well, I believe that's the way the Lord does it. That's why today I don't believe that we have faith healers. I don't believe that we have modern day prophets. I don't believe it because that's not the need. I think that if the body of Christ needed those things, God would make them real. But he doesn't give us something so that we can march around and hold it up and say, look what I have. That's not what he does. When Peter and John were walking by the temple and they saw a beggar there, and he said he was asking for alms, which means gifts or help. And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. Rise up and walk. And I think that's the illustration of spiritual gifts. Well, what about discernment? Absolutely. I think if we cry out to God and say, Lord, I need wisdom here. I need discernment. I need to know what to do. Okay, here. There you are. Do we have to ask for it? I think it's part of the process. It's not automatic. It's part of the process, but it's available to us. You know, Paul prayed this for the Philippians. The Philippians were in a terrible situation, and they needed help. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And it says this, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Paul knew that they were in the need of discernment. Things were happening in their lives not unsimilar to what's happening to us today in America. And they needed discernment to know what to do and how to do it. You know, also Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, said something very similar. This is in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. And it says this, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. That means they've been calling on the Lord, asking for discernment. They've been applying it to situations. They have another situation. They ask the Lord. Lord gives them discernment. And this is a process in their life as they mature in Christ. So that by the time they're getting along in years, they have all this wisdom and experience and discernment that they can add to the body of Christ. It's God's plan. It's how he protects us and saves us from the world around us. Well, so why do we need this discernment today? I don't even know if I have to answer that. You know, there are so many conflicting stories that are passing around right now. And I have to tell you, this is only going to get worse. This week and next week, there are going to be so many stories that are circulating, and we as Christians are not going to know what's true and what's not true. We can't judge by who it is that's saying it, because we don't know them. We don't know their heart the way our Heavenly Father knows them. It's not right for us to make our judgments against these people. We always have to keep in mind that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. It's not the Speaker of the House. It's not this person or that, this senator or that congressman. That's not the issue. The issue is there's a lot of misinformation that's being pumped out by our enemy. He always stays the same. He always makes white look black and black look white. He's our enemy. And things are taking place right now at lightning speed. We don't have the time right now to parse everything, pull it apart, and look at everything. And we need God's help. We need discernment coming from the Lord to be able to move forward. It's very important. It's critical. And the truth is, we may never know the whole truth about what's going on right now, about what happened on January the 6th, what happened even yesterday. We don't know the whole truth about these things. The Lord does. He knows it all. He has seen it all. He knows it all. And this I can tell you with full confidence, there is no one who has been guilty of fraud or corruption that will not be punished. They will be punished. Every single one of them. Maybe not in this world. Maybe not in this life. But they will not escape. And that's what the passage in 2 Peter assures us of. They'll pay the price if they have been involved in corruption. God hates corruption. He hates dishonest scales. He hates people that cheat other people. He hates it. And this battle is about him. It's not about us. We may never know the whole truth, but the truth is God doesn't intend for us to know the whole truth. That's not why he's called us into all this. He only gives us as much as he knows we can handle. And I have to say there are many people in America that feel like they can't handle much more. Maybe you're one of them. I can't handle much more. And to me, it's like the story about the father who, his son came to him and was asking him questions about his father's finances and about whether or not their family was going to be okay. And the father said, well, look, do me a favor. I want you to pick up that suitcase over there and I want you to bring it to me. And so the child went over and he struggled and he tried to pick up this suitcase. And he said, I'm sorry, Dad, but it's too heavy for me. I can't carry it. And he said, son, that's why I don't tell you everything. Because some things are too heavy for you to carry. There are things that we're going to be facing in the next few days that are too heavy for us to carry. It's not intended for us to know everything or to find out everything. We have this desire to pull back the layers of the onion so that we can try to get down there to the core. But we don't know what's true and what's not true. We don't know what's fraud, what's real. We don't know. I think we can call on the Lord. Lord, give us discernment. Give us wisdom in these things. Help us to know. Like I say, you're going to be watching things happen. You're going to be hearing of things happen that have never happened before. We're going to have this in the next 2 weeks. It all began yesterday and the day before when they started to shut the president out of of his accounts, different accounts. They shut other people out. Anybody that didn't agree with a certain line of thought was eliminated. That's just the beginning. You're going to hear that more and more. You're going to see these things take place. And you're going to wonder, well, what's true and what isn't true? Did he deserve that? Did he not deserve that? I don't know. That's why we need to call on the Lord. We need to have his discernment to be able to make the choices that we're going to have to make. But I also know this. If any of us lacks wisdom, we can ask of the Lord who gives freely to all without reproach. If we call on him, he will give us discernment. I can't do it for you. You have to do it for you. I have to do it for me. But we need to do it. There is a great deception, and it's not by men. It's by our enemy. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, again, we're grateful and thankful to you that you don't leave us here in this world of darkness without a light, that you've given us the light of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the light of your Holy Spirit, and we ask that we might call upon your name to give us wisdom and discernment in these days ahead to know how we should go, how we should move forward. And Lord, we thank you again for your love and mercy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And our hymn of response is number 58. We'll sing the first three verses at this point and then the fourth verse for a benediction response. Please stand and let's sing these first three verses, number 58. He leadeth me, O blessed thought.
Please bow for the benediction. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen.
And what?